All right.
Hey!
What's up?
We're back!
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the fucking, welcome back to Hello Horses.
Were you Italian for a little?
Just been, you know, what I, with the Sopranos.
The Mario movie coming out.
Just watching the Sopranos. There's that new Sopranos movie,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't seen.
I haven't seen.
But I'm sure they say it's like the fucking gabagool and stuff like that.
They'd probably do say gabagool.
Yeah. Anyway, it's hard not to be Italian in this day and age.
So true. Italian culture is so pervasive.
Yeah, it's really in your face.
Mm-hmm. What with Chris Pratt and all.
It's hard to get away from it.
Honestly,
yeah,
very true. You drive by at least one pizzeria a day.
That has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't drive.
Okay, well, this is the Hello Horses podcast,
where we talk about horses and say hello to them.
Just say hello. But the horses do have to be in a movie, and the movie can't have a plot that is about horses.
That about sums it up.
The M.
Mm-hmm.
I have no name so that death can't find me.
I also have no name.
Can you hide in the shadow of a high noon sun?
Yes, I can. I can do that.
Amazing.
And I will.
Oh, okay. Goodbye.
I can and I do.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, anything you want to chat about before we get started? Been up to anything lately?
No. Just chilling.
Any like life events you want to talk about?
No.
Okay.
Nobody needs to know my business.
That's true.
They'll figure it out. I was operating on Twitter at a not American time zone for the last few months.
Mm. Yeah.
It was probably how we got such a high English listener fan base. Because I was really interacting with them.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, no name. What movie are we doing?
Yeah, the people are going to think that the
rapper No Name,
hip-hop artist slash slash activist
slash library creator
is hosting this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Special guest.
Just to, like, you know, save everybody from the defamation lawsuit. That's not the case.
All right, Kevin Costner.
You got me.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice. What are we drinking today?
This is a Sierra Nevada, Oktoberfest beer.
We're drinking that because we can't stand water anymore.
That's true.
Can't stand it. I'm fucking sick of it.
That's right. And it's hard to come by fresh water these days.
Mm-hmm. It's like, once you get through the whole desalting process, you might as well just make it a beer.
That's right.
Already putting the work in.
That's right. It's a rough life in this water world.
I'm sick of this water world.
As Madonna said, we're living in a water world, and I'm a water girl.
She did say that.
Yeah.
That was the hit of year 300 of Waterworld.
So what movie are we doing today?
Angels in the Outfield.
That's pretty close.
The Bodyguard.
We're not doing the fucking Bodyguard. There's
no horse in it. I've watched it.
Oh my god.
That's me all come pooping.
What?
He's my little archaeologist.
We're in a different space today.
Yeah, probably will actually sound pretty weird.
It's gonna sound, it may be a little bigger. It's gonna sound
bigger.
This one's gonna be big.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be as big as the budget for Waterworld.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's been a while since we've done this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's been 4 months. No one knows that, but
it's just a fact. It's just some behind the scenes, you know.
I might cut that out because I don't want it to ruin the illusion of our Halloween episode being done not in Halloween.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, wait, what movie did we watch?
1995's Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Wet World.
I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wet and wild world.
Wetter and better.
They should have called this movie Wet and Wild.
I agree. Because it does get both.
Because it's kind of like Wild Wild West, but wet.
It is exactly Wild Wild West, but wet. Wet, wet. Wild.
That's right.
Wild, wild, wet.
They should have got the guy... Who's the guy in Wild Wild West?
Kevin Kline.
Oh, shit.
The better Kevin.
Yeah, they should have got Kevin Kline instead of Kevin
Costner. Oh my god, also in The Big Chill, whose scenes were not deleted. Kevin Costner.
Because he's the better Kevin.
He is the better Kevin. So, D-Dog, would you like to give the synopsis of this movie?
Jesus Christ. So it is some years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Hundreds.
And the world is flooded.
It's wet as hell.
It's really, there's water everywhere. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner is a drifter.
Mm-hmm.
A loner.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the world ocean, and he runs into a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a child.
Big time.
And everyone is searching for the mythical dry land.
Is it a myth? Is it real? I have to watch or listen to find out.
It's some real, you know, post-apocalyptic shit. No one seems to be in charge, which, you know, doesn't have to be a bad thing, but in this world...
Yeah, what, do you want a government?
No, but in this world, things are really not good.
They're okay. Everything is wet.
Everybody's so dirty.
I wrote, how is everyone so dirty? There was no dirt.
That's like the whole thing.
And they're surrounded by water. We know, Marcy. There's a cat. So, D-Dog, what is your relationship with this movie?
I had never seen it before. I had heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't remember that it was Dennis Hopper.
Mm.
You watched it pretty recently and you told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh shit, Waterworld, huh? And you said, yeah. So that's it. Yeah, what was your relationship to the movie?
Really quick, Dennis Hopper won the Raspberry for Worst Actor, and I think that's fucked up.
He's the best in the movie.
I think he's the only one who understands what movie he's in.
Yeah, agreed.
I watched this movie, I don't know, like 2 months ago. I'd never seen it before. I walked by the show that they do at Universal Studios and was like, who would see that? Because no one even saw the movie. And I watched it because it was on Netflix for free, and I was like, this movie's really bad, but then there were horses in it, and I was like, we have to do it, so let's just do it as soon as possible so that I never have to deal with this movie again.
Yeah.
And it feels good to have it behind me. But I have wasted 4 hours and 30 minutes of my life on this movie now.
Yeah, that's right.
And that feels rough. That feels bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is completely my relationship with it.
That's a rough relationship. It's complicated.
It's call Nancy Myers because it is complicated.
Marcy, you have to be quiet.
Yeah, this is, you're being rude. What else do we do? I gotta dust off the cobwebs here.
Oh my god.
Oh, were you expecting horses in this movie?
That's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Waterworld. Mm-hmm. So no, there's no horses in the movie.
Horses can't swim.
But you told me that there were horses in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, and this was my first time seeing it, so.
Right.
So yes, I was expecting them.
I was really hopeful, but was not expecting them. And then I was very happy.
Mm-hmm. This is what this podcast is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You get a movie like Waterworld, where no one is thinking there are horses in Waterworld.
Right.
But it turns out there are.
This one might be our most surprising so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's get into this fucking plot.
Yeah, you're gonna have to help me.
All right. So first we'll say the director is Kevin Reynolds, and he also did the Kevin Costner Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, okay.
So he just makes bad movies.
Prince Kevin Costner. Prince of Thieves.
Yes.
Kevin Costner is not in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
The Mel Brooks movie, Robin Hood Men in Tights. That one's actually good. Kevin Costner just plays the Mariner. Gene Triple.
He doesn't have a name, does he?
No, because he has no name, so that death can't find him.
Oh, shit.
Damn it. But I just refer to him as Mariner, like it is his name.
Okay.
And then Jane Triplehorn is Helen. Tina Majorino? Majorino?
Tina Majorino.
Majorino is Enola. She's also Deb from Napoleon Dynamite.
That's right. But not in this movie.
She's also, no, she is canonically Deb. And then Dennis Hopper plays the Deacon. And that's all I'm gonna get into for actors who play characters.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Gregor, old Greg, who is Michael Jeter.
All right.
He's an important character.
All right, this one's for you, Michael Jeter.
And I just like him. And it's funny that his name is old. He's credited as old Gregor.
Hmm.
Because remember old Greg?
I do remember old Greg. Those were simple times. So, now, yeah, let's fucking do this shit. So, it's, yeah, hundreds of years in the future. The polar ice caps have melted, and so the world is covered in water.
That's right.
We open with Kevin Bacon. God damn it! Kevin Costner.
God, I wish.
Kevin Bacon would have killed
it. It would be so much better.
Kevin Costner was the worst Kevin to pick.
If it was just Kevin Bacon's character in Tremors... but in this movie.
Oh, I would love that. Big time foof. So we just open with him actively pissing and drinking his own piss.
There's steps in between.
Yeah, he like desalinates it or whatever.
He just puts it through some filters. He makes it not so pissy.
Malcolm, don't drink that. But it is a bold choice to be like, let's take famous Hollywood heartthrob Hollywood words, not mine, and just have him drinking his own piss immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real fuck you.
To all the 47-year-old women
who went to see this 2-hour and 15-minute movie in theaters just so they could see Kevin Costner being the hottie they know him to be, and they just see him pissing into a cup and drinking it and then spitting it into a plant pot.
Hell yeah. Yeah, they were like, I'm gonna get some memorable moments to put away in that spank bank, and it's just lots of images of Kevin Costner abusing women and children and drinking his own piss.
Yeah, there's not a moment in this movie where he does something attractive.
Nope. So another like sailor drifter person comes. It's a tense moment. You're like, oh, people are on edge in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two drifters are approached by these like outlaws, I guess you would call them, called smokers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are called that because they smoke a lot of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think not only because they smoke cigarettes, but because they are the only people in this world that are burning fossil fuels.
I don't know where they get them, but they get them.
Well, so, kind of spoiling it, but at the end, you see that the big thing they live on,
mm-hmm,
is an Exxon oil tanker.
Oh, I missed that.
When it's sinking,
mm-hmm,
there's an Exxon logo on it.
I love this. It's almost like Josie and the Pussycats level equivalent of branding in a movie. Like, but they couldn't get Spam. There's Jack Daniels, there's Bacardi, there's Exxon, and then they're just like, Smeet. We couldn't get Spam. Was like, absolutely not. It's so strange.
Maybe Spam just has a problem with Dennis Hopper.
Or Kevin Costner.
Like, Kevin Costner or Dennis Hopper have been blacklisted from...
They are not allowed near our product. You stay away from Spam. Have all the fucking Smeet you want, but no Spam.
Smeet is so much worse.
It's 1,000 times... And it's so lazy, too. They were just like, just put a fucking S in front of me. I don't even give a shit. I'm so tired of this movie. So then we see that the sailor that approached Mariner stole his limes, and Mariner gets away from the smokers and fucks over the theft sailor all in one foul swoop. And we're like, well, this guy has got his shit together. He knows the sea. He does have
his shit together. You know, he's good at... He's good at maritime stuff. That's why they call him the Mariner.
Mm-hmm. Also, so that Death can't find him.
That's right. And Death didn't find him, because he thought Death would find him.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't.
It did not.
He evaded Death.
Yes, a lot.
Oh, but one of the important things is that Drifter told him that there was an atoll.
Yes.
8 days to the east.
That it was important.
So, Kevin Costner goes to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the important things in this first scene is that Kevin Costner goes into the water and he's fucking around. He's doing something in the water that we don't know about.
Masturbating.
He's gathering things.
Oh.
And then when he talks to that other drifter, that guy tells him, you were under a long time.
Yeah.
And you don't think about it.
You're right? Just like, okay.
But keep that in your brain.
Because this movie is clever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So then Kevin Costner goes to the atoll, which apparently...
Marcy.
...is supposed to take 8 days. In movie time, it's immediate. He's just there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was 8 days.
Well, he might be an even faster... sailor, because he has like a souped up Pimp My Ride boat.
Oh yeah, Exhibit came to Waterworld.
He was like, hey man, I heard you like motors on your boat. I'm gonna put a motor on your motor.
So you can motor while you motor.
Mm-hmm. Hey man, we heard you love drinking your own piss.
So we put some piss on your piss so you can drink piss while you piss.
Thank you, Exhibit.
Yeah, he's got like TVs in his trunk and...
He doesn't. He has... Paper.
A chess set on his steering wheel.
He has paper and dirt.
He's got some dirt.
And some crayons.
Which you think, man, that sounds like a bunch of trash. And it is. But it'll come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the atoll.
With his dirt.
And they won't let him in. They're like, you know, what are you trying to trade shit? We got enough traders. And he's like, well, check it out. I got some dirt. And everyone, their jaws drop.
Blown away.
This guy's got dirt. He's got dirt.
We don't have that shit. Everything's water.
Everything. It's all water.
This is a water world.
Yeah.
Unlike Dirt World, where we live now.
Yeah, but currently we live on Dirt World, which sounds... It sounds worse than Water World, you know.
But it's better, we promise.
It's definitely better.
So, we learn that after he's led into the city, he's got all kinds of trinkets. That people are amazed with.
Yeah, he's got some reflective glass.
Some might call it a car mirror.
You might call it that if you knew what that was.
Mm-hmm. So he goes and he sells his dirt.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we cut to a bar. There is a drunk man talking to a smoker about the myth of a child who has tattoos on her back that are supposedly a map to dry land.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, they say dry land with like a capital D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's a place, dry land.
Mm-hmm. Like?
Greenland.
Like Greenland, or Iceland, or Waterland.
Waterworld.
Or Waterworld.
Waterworld.
And then we see Mariner go to the store, and there's a beautiful woman working there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jean Triplehorn playing Helen.
We all know Jean Triplehorn.
Ugh, Triple Threat Triplehorn.
That's what we call her, you mm-hmm. know. You ever heard old Jean Triplehorn sing and dance? You ever?
Nope, but I'm sure she's great.
Agreed. I've never seen it.
But you know she can do it.
She has to, because she's, like he said, he's a triple threat.
Have you ever heard her blow on the horn?
Oh, I've heard her blow triple horns. She did some, like, Rasan Roland Kirk shit she's, like, playing a flute with her nose while she plays two saxophones at the same time.
That's why they call her Jean Triplehorn.
That's right.
Immediately, we see the mythological, possibly mythological, tattooed little girl. For somebody who has something so high stakes on her back, she
flaunts it.
Yeah, she's wearing like a low back crop top. And the tattoo is in the middle of her back, so it would be so easy to cover. And Helen has some concept that it has to be covered because she makes an attempt to cover it and then tells Enola, the little girl, to go inside.
Clothes are hard to come by, I guess, because they all wear these the weirdest clothes. It's like patches of leather.
Yeah.
And it's so tight fitting. It's
very silly.
It looks like some like real like high fantasy kind of clothing.
I was thinking the whole time they would have thought of some better clothing. Leather
something,
and salty sea
something
air do not mix.
Loose fitting, yeah. Something not leather.
It's very silly. But Kevin Costner has a tiny little leather crop top on the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then also, just gotta point out that Enola has like, she's white and she has like these like fucking box braids in her hair, and her hair looks like shit.
Oh yeah. Well, while he's in the town, we start like getting a little bit of the history and a little bit of the mythology of their world, which causes holes in this movie.
Big time.
The biggest problem with this movie is
everything.
Everything.
Were you like, wait, what? How would I? What's the biggest one?
So they. We're told that the world has been like this for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that the world hasn't always been like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Yeah.
That they know that.
Yes.
Because later it seems like they don't know that.
Right. Yeah, it's weird for like the narrator to be talking to us and like, you guys know, but then people in the movie don't.
Uh-huh.
No, but there are like, okay, I think it's hard to pick a biggest problem, but I think mine is in this scene where Mariner has dirt and everyone's like, holy fucking shit, and then buys a tomato plant planted in dirt for half of what he got his dirt for.
Well, because apparently, like, what he has is pure dirt.
Pure dirt.
I think they refer to it as pure hydro, but you said that they call water hydro later.
Or like their weird booze that they drink, but it's really hard to pay attention to like the weird shitty slang that's made.
I say
is
the stupidest shit in this movie. Anyway,
all I know is I need my go juice.
What he has is some pure dirt, and then maybe what the tomato plant is planted in is just shittier dirt.
Maybe, or maybe they're pretending it's not in dirt because when you see Kevin Costner carrying it. It's like, you know that like peat moss that you can like to make a potted plant look prettier? It has like that on the top of it, but just knowing tomato plants, it has to be planted in dirt.
Right. He does like throw his plants around and they don't spill dirt, so I don't know.
But maybe it's like they're compacted really tight and have that top or something for that reason, but I don't know how something that has dirt and then also gives you food could be worth less. Like, how does that devalue the dirt?
Don't know. Maybe because the plants already suck some nutrients out of that dirt.
Yeah, but okay, but what if it was a peanut plant?
Hmm?
Now is the dirt worth more?
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
It's a goddamn mess. Go ahead.
Oh, one of the other things about being at the atoll is... They recycle their dead by dumping the bodies sort of just like off the side of their deck. And I think the idea is just to create more surface eventually.
Oh. It just reminded me of In the Labyrinth, like fart swamp or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this also doesn't make sense because only Kevin Costner knows that there's a bottom.
Right.
So if their idea is to stack the bodies eventually to create more surface, that only works if there's a bottom.
Also, here's a new problem I just thought about, is it was like, Kevin Costner can breathe underwater, which will be revealed to us in a second. But so they were like, okay, so he can't be dumped in water, he has to be dumped in something that things that breathe underwater can't breathe in, like thick, muddy water. So That was just a sea of what dirt that they had.
But I don't think that it was like mud. I think it was
like sludge.
Well, because he was in the he was being dumped into the recycled body pit.
Okay.
So I think it was just like decomposing, like gunk.
They could have made it done a better job of making it look like anything other than dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like quicksand or something. But after he gets his plant, Mariner is like, you know, toodle-dee, thanks a lot, I'm on my way. And then this man grabs him and is like, you need to fuck my daughter! And Kevin Costner is like, no. And the dad is like, whoa, this guy won't fuck our daughter? Something's wrong with him. And so he gets into a physical altercation, and then they find out that he has gills. So he is a mutant.
Uh-huh.
And people are very angry at this for some reason. I would think in a world of water, if you were like, hey, you, fuck my daughter so she gets pregnant. If it was like, oh, he can breathe and swim underwater, he would be like, please impregnate my daughter, we need us.
And now I'm begging you. Yeah, I think it's kind of this, and I don't think this is like unrealistic either. It's a very reactionary thing where, like, they're afraid of... They want to preserve the human race as they know it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, like, any mutation, even though it's clearly a beneficial mutation, he mm-hmm. has webbed toes and gills,
mm-hmm.
they're like, this is something that needs to be kind of stopped.
I think that makes sense.
Because it's like a threat to our existence. Like, right. As we are.
And I know people do hate other people like for differences and will pretend that that is a threat to their well-being. But I think it would make more sense if we even encountered any other person with this mutation. But this movie seems to flip-flop on whether this is something that people are aware of that's happening or Kevin Costner is the first person they've ever seen this happen to.
Yeah.
I think it would have been interesting if it was like, maybe there was like a more elite group of mutants that were living much more efficiently, and human beings who didn't have that mutation were kind of like being pushed to the yeah. side. Then that aggression would make sense.
Because they see him and immediately they don't say this guy has fucked up ears. They yeah. say he has gills. So like this is a thing they've seen before, it would seem. And then they say he's a mutant. So and that's not what you would say if you right. saw someone with gills. You'd be like, this fucking guy has gills. You wouldn't feel like, he's a mutant. So, like, they already have a word.
They even have a slang word for it. They call it a muto.
Yeah, they already have, like, this verbiage to describe this thing that they're seeing. They've yeah. seen exactly this before. But then, like, in the next scene when old Greg goes to talk to him...
Mm-hmm.
Old Greg's like, there must be others like you.
Right.
So he doesn't know.
Yeah. And then Kevin Costner's like, I'm the only one of my kind. And you're like, okay, so when the person was like, hey, everybody, this guy doesn't want to fuck my daughter. Everyone, like, the one of the civilians knows to grab him and pull his ears back. And the way the gills look is it just like kind of looks like some soreness behind the ears. If in real life I encountered someone who had gills like that, I would just be like, this person's got eczema. Like, it would take... Well,
there's like a slit behind his ear. It just looks like someone like tried to cut his ear off.
Right. Like, they don't look like gills like how fish have gills.
Because your gills wouldn't be here. They'd be like, I don't...
No, they would be as far away from like from your large veins and lungs as possible. What, are you trying to get oxygen in your blood?
You're just gonna make that path long. We'll put that shit in your feet.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Yeah, it's a very... It only is there for him to, like, kind of be able to hide them, which they could have just done with different costuming, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's really... I also love that he, like, wears really stupid boots because his feet are webbed, and it's like, I could wear, like, normal boots if my toes were webbed. But he wears like square toe boots.
Yeah, yeah.
That he has trouble walking in when he's going up the stairs to the shop, he fucking slips. And I don't know if that was an accident or not.
Like every time he needs to do some serious walking, he takes off the boots.
His boots fucking suck. Or maybe he has like a hard time walking with webbed feet or something, but I don't know. So yeah, he gets put in the cage to be recycled. We cut to Helen and Enola's home life. They live with the kooky inventor, Gregor.
Uh-huh.
He's, I don't know if we're revealed anything except for, like, what a kook.
Well, he's trying to decipher Enola's tattoo to find how to get to dry land. And he can't figure it out. And he's really down on himself. He says, he basically says, you know, I'm an idiot. The answer's right there. I just can't figure it out.
And we're like, you are an idiot, Gregor. I'm sorry. So...
Well, listen. You've seen the tattoo. How the fuck could that be a map?
It's a bad map. I know. I love this idea of, like, these people being like, we're a dying race. And then, like, this knowledge of dry land dies with us. So we need to send this baby out. Also, love the idea of tattooing a baby, and as she grows, anyone being able to see any sort of image from that tattoo. It would become so misshapen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how tattoos work. Like,
they don't scale up.
And I was like, so do you think they just like did a giant tattoo on the baby's back? It would still be all stretched and shit.
No, they did it really small, and they're like, don't worry, as she grows, this will be like a good scaled map.
The resolution on this stick and poke I did is incredible.
Like a good, like 400 scale map or something, and people will be able to find their way. It'll be super clear. Wait, but, like, I don't know, maybe if they got a magnifying glass or something, there's really fine details in there.
Right. That. It was so much more clear. They didn't expect it to take 10 years for people to figure out. It would have been so easy if they just tried the moment she was a baby. But they fucked around for 10 years, and now it doesn't make any sense. But, so Mariner is in the cage, hanging above the sledge, and Gregor, out of desperation, pays him a visit, because... him and his ladies are thinking, well, he had dirt, so he has to know where dry land is. But yeah, this is where we get the conversation where Gregor is like, I wouldn't be surprised if there were more of you, and if not, there will be soon. And Kevin Costner says, like, there is no my kind, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just all of those questions raise up. How do they know to immediately look for gills behind somebody's ears?
Yeah.
How do they know glancing at that is like, this person is a mutant who can survive underwater and is now a threat to me.
Also, like, it's evolution doesn't work so quickly that there would be a guy, like one single guy with well-defined gills,
right?
Well-defined functional gills and webbed toes, and there's not anybody else. There's not hundreds of generations of other people with like.
Vestigial gills or something.
Shittier gills.
Yeah. Or it's also really strange. I guess if you think about it, though, it could make sense that, like, if human beings were, like, evolving to be able to also live in the water, like, your hands wouldn't be webbed because we do so much shit with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is kind of strange that, like, that webbing wouldn't at least develop a little bit more. It's pretty vital to... Also, I think, like, human feet being the size that human feet are, but with some webbing, that's not going to add that much to your swimming.
It's not that helpful, yeah.
But Kevin Costner's, like, jumping out of the water, like, flipper and shit.
He does dolphin shit.
He's, like, jumping through hoops, balancing balls on his nose.
Yeah.
Doing flips in the air. He's incredible.
And he can go, like... really deep.
Yeah. I know, so there has to be something with his blood.
Women, older women love
oh,
it
yeah.
him.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Not old women. I mean
old women too. If you're over 30 and a woman, you're old. Get over it. But also, I just want to talk about like the slang for mutant being mute-o. Because it's spelled like mute, like to silence, and then O.
Hyphen O.
And it's like, I'm like, I don't know, do you know like the breakdown of that word? Like, does like the prefix of mu mean anything, or?
I don't know. It has to be the M-U-T that's like carries the meaning.
Okay. I was just like, I don't feel like, to me that's just so lazy that it's like, it's fun to play around with language to show like a deterioration of the society we know and then, you know, the birth of a new one. But like, when words like that are invented, it's because parts have meanings to it. Mm-hmm. So just to be like, I don't know, this sounds like the first part of that word, so let's just take that and add O.
It's also not shorter.
It's not. It's the same. Why would you call him a muto? That's just confusing. Now trouble's afoot because the smokers are rolling up into town. I think they all got word about Enola somehow, and that's why they're rolling up.
Yeah.
I don't know how, because only...
It was off screen.
Yeah, but... Like. The one smoker is there. Did he leave? I guess he left and he reported back. But they get, which is just so like, I think it would have been a lot easier to send in like two. Just pretend they were shopping.
No, they
and find her.
No, they send everybody and they do so much shooting and so much like jumping on jet skis.
Just spraying. Spraying with bullets. And when you're watching that scene, you're just like, Kevin Reynolds, director. What the... So when you were, like, budgeting out this movie, you were like, I need 15 men to be on Wave Runners. And then they go under the water, they pop back out.
And here's the thing about this, is that, like, the phrase, jumping the shark, has a... not that distant origin and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what it's from.
Mm-hmm.
If you in fucking...
Jaws.
If you in 1995 are gonna have a serious movie where a guy takes a jet ski off of a ramp... and makes an unbelievable jump. Like, what the fuck are you thinking?
That's just like... Oh, when you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. Like, it's so...
All it was missing was a shark.
I know. He couldn't afford the shark. That's when they were like, we can't give you another $1 million. And he's like, ah, no fucking shark there, I guess. It's wild. I mean, it's seriously like, okay. It should be a tense moment because it's like, Kevin Costner, star of the film, is in a cage and people are like, okay, we're gonna kill you now. And you're like, how's he gonna get out of this one? And then they're like, we need 15 minutes of flames, planes, explosions, synchronized swimmers, acrobats. And then you're just like, okay, I'm watching this now. And then they're like, okay, back to the cage. And you were like, oh my god, yeah. The cage. Kevin Costner. So, yeah, Kevin Costner's like, please let me out of the cage. I'll fight them. And they're like, no, you can't be that good of a fighter.
You're a fucking muto. We're not going to let you out.
No. Also, but for real though, if I was in that situation and there was one person in a cage and they were like, if you let me out, I'll fight them. I'd be like, dude, they're jumping off ramps with Wave Runners. What the fuck do you think you're going to bring to the table here? Oh, one guy? That's all we were missing?
That's a good point. It's a good point.
I'd be like, no, we're fucked. So you're just going to stay in this damn cage.
They didn't know it was the Mariner.
They had no clue. Also, we don't know what their rule... They use the word blasphemy, so I don't know if they still have, like... Christian religion?
No, it's because and this is what the movie doesn't explore nearly enough, is they have some kind of new belief system that's come up in this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Christianity or anything. It's some something new that we don't hear anything about.
Right.
They just throw around the word blasphemy. But when Kevin Costner and what's her name?
Helen.
Triple double.
Last week you fucked around and got a triple double? Yeah. Wow.
When they say, oh, like, there's a bottom, like, there's, like, there are cities underneath us, mm-hmm. they say that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
Because they have this belief system that, I guess this is how the world's always been.
Right.
And it's a water world. But the guy in the town said it's been this way for hundreds of years.
Right.
So they know that it hasn't always been this way.
And Dennis Hopper talks about Poseidon.
Yeah.
So we don't know if that's him just being like tongue-in-cheek and he's like, "Cause get it? Because we live in a water world." Or if it's like because they live in a water world, they worship like more elemental gods again.
God damn, like... They're all the smokers smoke cigarettes. And I know that there's not, like, some big hydroponic, I don't know. But I think that these are all, like, cigarettes from the old times. I don't think there's, like, this big hydroponic tobacco plantation somewhere. So, right. First of all, cigarettes will not last hundreds of years. Where are they coming from? Second, if these are just cigarettes from before, then they know that there was a before.
No, okay. Hold on. We'll just do a whole pause on this and get into this because a couple things with that is, first time I watched this movie, I thought they have to be like rolling these cigarettes and making them themselves because they treat things that truly have no value as something super valuable because it used to exist before the world was covered in water. Like a car mirror.
Mm.
That's useless to us right now unless you don't have one rear view mirror in your car and you would pay $15 for one. You know, like that has no value. And the amount of cigarettes that they smoke throughout the film is like, they have no value to them.
Uh-huh.
Like, and cigarettes actually have like sort of beneficial qualities in the way that like it releases chemicals in your brain that make you feel better.
Uh-huh.
They're more beneficial than a car rearview mirror. So the fact that they're so like careless with them makes me think that they can constantly make more. But we see them like have crates of booze that is like made to look old. Like the Jack Daniels bottles and stuff mm-hmm. look like dusty. How they're dust, like if they dug them out from underwater, it's how they're dusty, I don't know. But you get the sense that like—
Where is the dust coming from?
Where is the dust coming from? But like, so you get the sense that like, they've just discovered crates and crates and crates of Jack Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could say, oh, they must have just like discovered the cigarettes. And then another thing that makes me think they discovered the cigarettes is all of the cigarettes have filters on them. And I think that in this world where they're just breathing in gasoline fumes all the time, why would they have filters? Like, they would just be rolling their cigarettes.
Yes. And bullets, too. Because they don't make any effort to conserve bullets.
They do. It's like the John Mulaney joke about, like, how people used to rob banks in, like, the 20s where they're just like, walk in, just spray bullets.
And maybe this is just, like, this is supposed to be commentary on...
Don't give the movie that.
But it's even 1995. This is, like, before An Inconvenient Truth or anything. But after, like, ExxonMobil, you know, had those studies that, well, they basically hit it. Like, if we continue our current rate of consumption, then, you mm-hmm. know, climate change is, you know, catastrophic and unavoidable.
I think it has to be, I don't know if it, like, specifically says, but there's nothing else that would make the polar ice caps melt except for...
climate change.
Yeah.
But, so, I think that because the smokers are the only people who, in this movie, who just... like use things,
yeah, like really live in excess and
with no regard for, you know, how abundant that might be or how limited it might be.
That's a really good point. And you could even say, like, well, look at how they don't when they're going to kill Mariner, they're not like dispose of him or get rid of him. They say recycle him. Mm-hmm. And when you go onto the ExxonMobil boat, like even there's just like cigarette butts everywhere. Like they litter. They don't like take care of the place that they're in.
Trash cans on fire.
Just trash cans on fire. They just are like, burn that fucking ozone layer. Yeah. So that actually is a good point. That it might be some sort of commentary of like, yeah, these people living just like not fiscally at all, just like gluttonous and wasteful.
And like this is what this has the, and I'm being a little gracious here. Mm-hmm. This has the bones of an interesting movie. Mm-hmm. This world could be interesting. You could make a good movie out of this world. But they just don't. Somehow, in the 2 hours and fucking 15 minutes, they give us nothing.
I know.
But confusion and just contradiction.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I'm disappointed in this movie. I feel like I don't. When I walked away from it, I'm not like, I hate this movie. It's the worst thing that ever happened. It's just like, I've never seen time managed so poorly. And I don't mind like movies where the world is so complex that they just kind of give you hints that you piece together. But yeah, the movie is constantly contradicting the information it's giving you. So you're just super confused. Like, I want to know, do they know that the world flooded? I can't even be fucking clear on that. It would be interesting if it was like, all of that has so passed that, like, they've developed their own new religion to explain the world they're in.
And like, often, if you see a movie where it's some kind of, like, alternate culture where they have their own beliefs, you'll have a scene where the movie spoon feeds you
right. What
they believe. Like, you sit down in a classroom and the teacher is teaching kids about, like, their belief system.
Right.
Like, if you, like, go watch, like, The Wicker Man. Like, that's a weird-ass movie with a weird-ass, like, mm-hmm. culture. And you just see kids in a classroom
right. Learn
about their society, and that's how you learn. Not saying that The Wicker Man is that good. That movie's mostly, like nudity and weird sex romps and psychedelic music.
It's the same. I mean, it's similar. Like in Midsommar, where in order to explain the culture, the film brings outsiders in so that the culture can be explained to them, and then we know what's happening. Which is Midsommar is just modern day Wicker Man. It's just the plot of Wicker Man. But
no, the modern day Wicker Man has Nicolas Cage.
That director righted the wrong of the first Wicker Man. Love this movie.
Not enough bees in the first Wicker Man.
Not enough bees! Aw, Nick. Alright, okay, so back to the battle. So, let's see. Dennis Hopper is the main smoker baddie, so we see him. I don't know who was in charge of this more, the director or the producer, who's just like, steampunk airplanes, water skiers jumping off of ramps, synchronized, 300 people on wave runners that turn into submarines, like,
yeah.
That's like six lines of coke in, and he's like, wave runner submarines.
Yeah.
And during this whole time, Mariner's cage is, like, getting lowered or it gets knocked.
So at some point he gets knocked over because, like, a fucking jet ski crashes into him or some fucking shit.
And Helen and Enola are like, don't love all this violence, let's go see Gregor. But his hot air balloon is taking off too fast. And he's like, oops, and he throws down a rope, and Helen is not trying for that rope.
In her defense, Gregor, terrible at throwing ropes.
He's not great at it, but it is within arm's reach, and she just does, like, one little slight grab, and is just like, eh, it's out there, dude.
It's not a life or death thing for her at all.
With, like, this child who she's, like, taken in and is, like, responsible for her well-being.
Yeah.
So Gregor's like, okay, bye. And so Helen is super desperate. She's like, the only other person I can think of is Mariner because of the dirt. She goes to him. He's drowning in the muck. And she says, you know, I'll free you, but you got to get us out of here. And he's like, yeah, of course. So there's a whole goddamn thing. But they eventually leave. Mariner shoots Dennis Hopper in the eye. He loses his eye.
Does he shoot him in the eye? Or is it like he blows up the thing that they're on? Because he does this thing where... Sorry, I wrote this down.
Okay.
But he fucks with the big gunner boat so that mm-hmm. it's forced to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shoots all the smokers. And it shoots the thing that the boat that Dennis Hopper's on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... It blows up because, you know, it's run on fossil fuels.
Right.
And then in that explosion, Dennis Hopper loses an eye. Doesn't matter. Dennis Hopper loses an eye.
He does. He also says, adios, cousins.
So... And this is a thing that never comes up again. In this scene, we're led to believe that all the smokers call each other cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy who's shooting, Dennis Hopper says, who's that cousin?
Yeah, and then he says it when we go onto their ship, he calls them cousins, but then when he's addressing the crowd, he calls them brothers and sisters. And you're like, what? Which one is it? Our three main characters get away,
mm-hmm.
and they set off to the sea, because it's the only place they hit the sea.
It's all there is. What else are they gonna hit?
Literally, just Gene Triplehorn later. Both, you know, in the literal and then the sexual innuendo sense.
That's right. And this is where you already mentioned it, but the smokers do call fuel go juice.
The fact that there wasn't like some disgusting gasoline-y energy drink that came out in 95 called Go Juice makes me so sad. Like, that is such a marketing opportunity totally lost. I think I'm gonna make it. Just Dennis Hopper's face, and it's gonna be like, Go Juice.
Well, it's on Netflix now. I mean, there's a revival, clearly.
Also, even that they know what juice is. You know?
Well, you know. Like, words have been passed. Like, juice means all kinds. It's like any kind of liquid.
Pimp juice.
Juice just basically means liquid in modern English. So, that being passed down.
I call my beer my wheat juice.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's true too. Mariner gets like 4 feet away from the adult, and then his
and he's like, we gotta push this fucking kid over because there's not enough water for
there's
all of
us. There's not enough piss water. And it's like, there's technically, if the water you have is filtered piss, there is enough water for every single person because you make your own water.
If all you're doing is drinking your own piss, we're all making piss.
Yeah, we're all fine. And then if it's so filtered, it's safe to drink, we just continue to piss what we consumed, so...
I mean, you must be losing some every time just through sweat and...
I know, that's why I was just like... But that's why I was like, why isn't he also just... To me, it's strange that he's not boiling water or just having some sort of, like, condensation trap.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's...
It seems like something he would do because he's pretty set up.
He has an entire filtration system for his urine mm-hmm. and hasn't been, like... What if I got, like, some plastic and I strung it up and then I, like, got water that way?
Yeah, because, just, like, it seems to never rain. So, just with the sun, you can, cause a little bit of the water from the salt water to evaporate and you can collect that.
I was also thinking it was really strange we never encountered a storm. Like, climate change has happened to such an extreme extent. The polar ice caps have melted. You'd think we'd have some pretty erratic weather.
We see clouds, so they must get storms. But I don't know, like, what's the time period the movie takes place in? A couple weeks?
Right.
I don't know.
It's true. I mean, it has to rain because the island we go to at the end is lush with a waterfall.
Yeah.
Which I have questions about. The existence of the waterfall, thinking about how water systems work, but that's okay. We won't go into that. So yeah, Kevin Costner is ready to do a child murder. What's her name? Helen. She's like, okay, horrible proposition. You can rape me so that you don't murder this child. And Kevin Costner is like, but then remembers rape and child murder are bad.
They're both bad.
So he doesn't do them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, good. You kind of thought about it a little too long. And when Helen is in front of him being like, well, I really don't want you to murder this child, so I guess you can rape me. He's like, earlier you thought I was dirt, and now you want me to sexually assault you? Oh, how the tables have turned. But like we were talking about, dirt is really valuable in this world, so that saying makes no sense. And why didn't they just use the word garbage?
And maybe they don't know what garbage is.
Or a freak. Yeah, they're just like, everything's useful. You thought I was a freak.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier you were happy to see me recycled. Yeah. And now you think it's okay if I force myself on you sexually so I don't murder your adopted child? Hypocrite.
There are things all around them from a world before the world was flooded. They have to know.
I know, and it's just that one line that doesn't make sense. Because even later when Helen says, I thought that dry land sat on top of water and keeps blowing around it, that's why we can't find it. You could still then have trinkets of the past.
Mm-hmm.
But to be like, the city is underneath us, and someone being like, that's blasphemous, is like, wait.
What do they believe? Just tell me what they believe.
Because they have to believe in a time when the world wasn't a water world in order to place any value on the shit that they trade, aside from dirt, because dirt has value. They plant things in it. But to just be like, here's some paper that's already written all over?
Yeah.
And like, Kevin Costner had National Geographic magazines. He can't, it's rare, but he can't be the only person in the world that's come across something like that, you know? Yeah. So it's such a strange thing that just completely, like, confuses me.
So, Kevin Costner's like, no, I don't think that I want to do the whole rape thing, so, you know, to chill it with that. And then she pulls a gun on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits her with an oar.
Oh, I thought it was a baseball bat. Oar makes way more sense. He hits her so hard that, first of all, she gets hit in the back and she passes out. That's how hard he hits her.
Yeah.
That's too hard.
And here's another problem with this movie. Kevin Costner is our leading man.
Mm-hmm.
Our main character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're supposed to like him.
Yeah.
He's not even an anti-hero. Anti-hero is supposed to have some kind of charm, be a complicated character,
mm-hmm.
that at the end of the day you can empathize with and still root for. Kevin Costner's just a monster through it.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like the movie As Good As It Gets, where Jack Nicholson's character is actually just the worst fucking person. He's anti-Semitic, he's racist, he's homophobic, he's sexist, and he's actively violent towards people, and then you're just like, he has obsessive compulsive disorder, so it's just like, what? So he just puts up a wall, and it's like, that's not a wall, this man is a monster. And it's just the same in this, where it's just, we used to live in such a time where, like, white men could really easily be forgiven when you realize they've had at least three other emotions. They'd be like, no, he's subconscious because he's a mutant. And
yeah, but he just hit her with an oar.
And tried to murder a child.
And that's not the worst thing he does. Nope. It gets worse.
Yeah. We cut back to the adventures of the smokers, and Deacon's getting his fake eyeball painted. I love these scenes with Dennis Hopper. Like, anytime you cut to Dennis Hopper, you're like, this could have been such a fun movie with a sense of humor. Like, the fact that he lost an eyeball and is self-conscious enough to be like, get me a fake eyeball, and someone's like painting it on him. That's a great scene. But he does make a golf joke, and I don't know how he knows what golf is. Really concerned about that, and enough to make jokes about it. Like, he knows what his short game is. He knows so much about golf. And then we are led to believe that all of the smokers know a lot about golf because they enjoy his jokes.
And it's not the last thing he says about golf.
He brings it up frequently. And it's like, I guess you could have Waterworld golf. You could, you know, like putt-putt, but you just have to like kind of hit it over the water into something. Yeah. But we don't see it, so we don't know. Then the crime jazz plays.
Yeah, the Peter Gunn theme plays. Why? It's like watching the fucking Blues Brothers.
It won an Oscar for sound. But they're all like, yeah, let's fucking go get that tattooed girl. And you're like, uh-oh, I don't think our three main characters are safe. And then we cut back to Mariner with his second attempt of murdering a child, where he just throws Enola into the water.
That's right, yeah. He's just annoyed with her. He just pushes her over. And then Helen's like, she can't swim.
What?
Hard cut.
Yeah. There should have been a record scratch there. And him being like, pardon?
Excuse me, this is Waterworld.
Look to your left, look to your right.
Not place to walk world.
It's so fucking strange. And it's strange too when you think about how it's like, okay, like babies are born knowing how to swim. So if humans were always around water, that knowledge would continue. So it's just like, Helen was like, you don't touch that water. You stay away from that fucking water.
It's completely unexplainable.
So, yeah, at that point, it's like, maybe Kevin Costner wasn't trying to do a murder.
He just thought, like, any other person in this world, she would be fine.
Yeah.
And he says later, I've never met a person who didn't know how to swim. Yeah, why would you? Because for hundreds of years, it's been just water.
Yeah, Helen's a bad parent.
Later, she's like, I'm not her mother. Okay, well, you're something.
Like her adoptive mother. Yeah, I think it's really the equivalent of just like having a baby and just not teaching it how to walk. It's like, meh. So when someone like puts it on its feet, it falls and you're like, she doesn't know how to walk.
And you'd be like, what? She's 10 years old.
She doesn't know how to walk.
And you would think about that parent, well, you're a monster.
Yes. Why would you give her food? She doesn't know how to chew. She what? Why are you doing this? Okay, so Helen gets Enola out of the water, back on the boat, and then boom, smokers are back. Helen's thinking quick on her feet here. She shoots the plane with a harpoon.
Well, Kevin Costner's not very communicative.
Communicative.
He's not very communicative in this scene. He goes under the below deck and just leaves them up there. And he's like, don't touch anything.
Right.
Okay, but they're being shot at.
Yeah.
A lot, actively.
Mm-hmm.
So she harpoons the plane.
Yeah. And great shot. Mm-hmm. But now there's a rope attached to a plane attached to the boat.
Yeah, the harpoon really fucks up the boat.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a problem. But the Mariner cuts the rope from the harpoon. And the smokers leave. But he's pissed. And he grabs a machete and approaches Helen. And you're like, she's in for. And then he just chops off all her hair. Which I think is just absolutely fucking psychotic.
It is.
That's more scary than just stabbing a person.
I thought he was gonna like use the hair to make some kind of netting or something. Like he was gonna use it for something. But no, he was just angry.
Yeah.
And he gave her a machete haircut. Have you seen those they're probably TikTok videos, but I'm an adult, so I see them on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like people getting like knee cleaver haircuts.
I have not seen that. Does that work out for them?
No. I don't know. But it's just like, I think it's supposed to be soothing to watch. It's just like...
Meat cleavers near people's heads is not...
So it's like, they'll like put someone's hair like on a cutting board or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then just come by like and chop off with a quick like meat cleaver or something like,
right.
like that. And it's just like very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's a bad haircut. I'm sure it's bad.
It can't be good.
But that's what this scene is like. Because she's laying down on the deck of the boat, and he just comes by, and her hair is, like, all out, and he just comes by with a machete and just starts chopping around her head.
Yeah. And really close to her head, because it's a close crop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she predominantly has a pixie.
Except for that one piece.
Or, like, little Jedi rat tail on the side.
Yeah, you want to talk about this haircut?
It's so bad. Well, but first it's just, like, I need to talk about... the mindset of, like, you being mad at somebody, and so what you do is, like, violently chop off their hair. Because that's, like, him trying to send an intentional message of, like, your body does not belong to you while you're on my boat. And I can, like, alter it or take parts of it away.
Mm.
I'm sure in Waterworld you probably don't really care, how, like, what you look like very much. But that act would have me just, like, crying for 7 hours. Because it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That is a direct act of intimidation.
Yeah.
It's so violent. And then her hair looks like shit in such a way where I'm like, I almost appreciate the movie just being like, and then her hair looks like shit. You know? But yeah, I do think they were trying to go for like, you know, like in Pretty in Pink, where they wanted to create like a dress. They wanted to like create a new trend. And it just... flopped. It's the ugliest dress ever. But they thought they were being like, oh, we're gonna create a dress you've never seen before. So they were like, this is gonna be the Waterworld haircut, and like women are gonna get the Waterworld haircut.
Yeah,
but it's bad.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, you can't get that haircut and then go to work. Are you kidding me?
You couldn't. You would be fired.
Which is, you should be able to have any haircut you want.
That's true. Work. I agree. Unless your hair is in the shape of a swastika.
Yeah, but I mean...
or a Blue Lives Matter flag.
Yeah, I don't know how you manage it, but...
like, you get it, like, in your head, and then you dye a blue stripe.
Steps.
Mm-hmm. It's really bad. And it's amazing to me that she never tightens it up. Like, they don't even just do, like, one scene or something, and then she tightens it up. She's just like, there's just a fucking strand of hair.
Because there's one piece that's so long. Just cut that.
And it makes it so much more in her face than when she just had it like back in a braid.
Yeah.
Because it's just like this mop on her head.
Yeah.
Half of the movie she's like, can't see. It's wild. I would really love to like read more about the history of that haircut. Oh, but then an almost like the exact next scene, Enola's drawing with crayons on Mariner's boat. So then he does the same thing to her, even scarier. Because he did that to a child, but she has an even haircut, and her cultural appropriation haircut is gone.
It's good to not have those braids anymore.
He should have just done that the moment he saw her with those.
He was just like, listen, there's no cultural appropriation on my boat.
Yeah, and that one is such a strange choice to me, too, because you know that the costume designer is like, I just want to do things that, like, the way the clothes look and stuff, like... this is just a different world. I want things to look strange. So then he picked a black hairstyle to like look exotic. And then, but it's like, you see her flyaways the whole time because it's not meant for white hair, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, this just doesn't even make sense for her to have. Who's braiding it all the time?
Who it
has to be done like every 2 days. It's not gonna hold.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not an easy hairstyle for, like, a white person to have. It's gonna fall out. It's so strange. And I think they only did it just to be like, wouldn't this be cool and edgy, you know?
Yeah.
So it feels kind of gross.
Yeah.
And that's that. Those are my thoughts.
On the whole movie?
The end.
We're done.
And then another drifter shows up.
That's right.
You want to take away this scene?
Yeah. So they run into another drifter. The drifter is like, hey, I have this paper I can trade for your women, who are clearly your...
One is 10.
The women that you clearly own.
But he was like, I don't even need the older one. And you're like, this guy's a pedophile.
Okay, yeah, so that's a start. And first of all, paper. This is the first time where we're like, paper?
Yeah.
Really?
What are you going to do with
it? This dude's like, paper. You ever seen paper? It's like, what the fuck do I need paper for?
That's completely written all over.
Yeah, I can't use this paper. It's not like dirt I can get a little bit, because dirt's important.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in, you know, it's water world. Like, even for just the novelty of dirt,
mm-hmm.
I get it. Paper is... it's gonna get wet.
That's true.
And it's useless. You can't do anything with it. But Kevin Costner's like, that paper is looking mighty fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to give you half an hour with this woman that I own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For some paper. And the drifter's like, that seems like a deal. And he goes down and he's nervous. He's got the butterflies.
Well, he's also like, the movie's trying to do a shorthand where it's like, he's mentally unstable. That's how you know he's dangerous. You know? Yeah. They're just doing a real quick shorthand there.
Yeah. And then Kevin Costner changes his mind about...
he remembers rape is wrong again.
It always takes him a little while around to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. We've been conditioned to this.
I mean, Helen had the most terrifying 5 minutes of her life below the boat there, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad he came around.
And then he's like, I changed my mind. And the other, you know, the crazy drifter,
mm-hmm.
Is like, you can't, you know, we made a deal. You can't change your mind. And Kevin Costner says, well, I just did. And then they have a knife fight.
Yeah.
It looks for a second like Kevin Costner lost the knife fight.
Yeah.
But he actually won.
That's just some great...
And that drifter, dead.
Dead. Big time dead.
Dead. They push his body off the boat.
And they say, we die with this secret. And then they start getting these notes that are like, I know what you did.
Yeah.
And... crabs start showing up in the trunk of their cars. It's a whole thing.
And Kevin Costner's like, look, I'm real sorry about the rape thing. I really wanted that paper.
But then I just remembered I could go back on my deal and murder the person.
Murder him.
And then keep the paper.
Then they took all of his stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Kevin Costner kills a big fish.
Yeah, because it was like, he trades Helen because he's pissed at her, because he doesn't even want to trade with the drifter at all, but they haven't eaten, and the drifter says he has a fishing pole, so Helen wants to do a trade with him. So I think Kevin Costner's like, well, fuck you, if you want to do a trade, then I'm just going to let him rape you. And because then when he gets back up to the top, she's like, this fishing pole doesn't do shit, I'm hungry. And he's like, god, these fucking women and being hungry.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just go kill this giant monster fish, which is just also, what? Why does that exist?
Good question.
So then it's like, now, wait, how long have the polar ice caps been melted? Because that's a whole new fucking animal.
This is what I'm saying, because humans have evolved gills, at least one has,
mm-hmm.
and webbed toes. And there's this big fucking fish. Evolution is not quick. It's not hundreds of years.
Yeah.
It would take a long time to have fucking gills.
Yeah, I think like in this timeline, what we would see is it would be something like, humans are starting to have less body hair to be a little bit quicker in the water or something like that, you know? Because like, water world, so the ones who had like hairier legs got caught by a giant fish faster or something, you know? But yeah, humans have gills, webbed feet, and like megalodons with like a megalodon catfish hybrids exist. but catches it, and they eat it. And I do think that's a really good cut, like, because it's like this high drama thing. It like eats him, right? He like electrifies himself and eats him, so then it explodes. Uh-huh. And you're like, whoa, but then it just cuts to them all silently eating and being like, thanks.
Yeah.
And that's a fun cut. I'll give the movie that.
Yeah.
But then it's the most disgusting scene because it's Enola shoving food into her mouth to the point where like the front of her lips, like this, like, you know, okay, I don't know how to explain it. The part where it's like not your lips anymore, but it's still like the skin covering your teeth, mm-hmm. like, you know, between your nose and your mouth, and then like between like your chin mm-hmm. and your mouth, like that part's puffed out. Her mouth is so full of food, and she's just like humming and like just continuing to like jam pack, like she's not even chewing, she's just like, how many fucking pieces of fish can I shove into my mouth?
Yeah.
And just humming, and Kevin Costner's like, I should have fucking killed you when I had the chance, which is relatable. And then she's like, no, 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 no. And I was like, shut your fucking mouth right now, dude. You are so gross.
Keep saying swim.
Well, first, Helen and Mariner vibe at night together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're like, well, she's like, sorry, she took your crayons. And she's like doing the thing where she's leaning up against the post. Like the wind's blowing through her hair. And he's like, I guess I'm no, never mind. He does not apologize for having her almost raped. He's just like, don't do it again. Taking crayons is the greatest crime of all. And then, yeah, then he's teaching Enola how to swim poorly because she's not using her limbs at all.
No. He's just teaching her how to hold her breath.
Which is important.
Uh-huh.
Then Helen's like, it's fine that he almost had me be raped yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday.
The day before today.
Boy, the situations look different when you have a full tummy.
Hours ago.
I was just upset because I was hangry. But now I'm fed and I'm like, you know, that's fine. He sold me.
Yeah. But they run into the smokers again.
Always.
Yeah.
And once again, this movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Maybe we don't need this much of this. Cut out one of these scenes.
That's right. But, you know, they...
they get away.
But they get away. And this is important. Okay. Kevin Costner reveals that he has never been to Dryland. Mm. Maybe we should have said that this whole time... Kevin Costner is leading them to believe that they're heading towards dry land.
Right.
But they're not.
Which is strange. It's like, was that just a miscommunication, or was he being misleading? And if so, for what purpose? Like,
good question. I think he was purposely being misleading.
Was it a whole Shrek thing where he's pretending he doesn't want people around, but he does want people around?
Don't know, because that doesn't seem like his deal either.
Yeah, it's just like, we know, or maybe, because I think it's like never super clearly articulated between them. She's like, you need to get us out of here. And then he's like, I got you out of here, get off the boat. And she's like, where the fuck are we supposed to go? So I could see... they think he's been to dry land because he has dirt, and then he just thinks he's fucking stuck with them until they go to another atoll or something.
But this, like, this time when they run, or maybe it's the next time.
They do have the dry land conversation here.
Okay. It's this time when they run into the smokers because they think that, they think it's... like a trading post, like something that they need to trade at. And Helen says something about like the delay, like she thought they were going to make it to dry land today. And Kevin Costner says, today or tomorrow, what's the difference?
You're right.
So he's like leading them
right
to dry land, but he, like, for what, like, he's lying, but what's, to what end? It doesn't make any sense.
Wait, are you saying that, like, the characters aren't well thought out in this?
Yes, that's exactly maybe what I'm saying. But, okay, so it's after they get out of this that he reveals that he's never been, And not only has he never been, he doesn't believe in it.
Right. Which I think is, like, that's all of the kind of, like, philosophical debate this movie needed to get into. Like, I think you could have everyone agree that the world wasn't Waterworld. Then it got flooded. Because all of that flooding stuff, that's useless to them. Like, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm even surprised. To me, I'm not a Scientologist. Yeah, that's and I'm true. Not a scientist. To me, it doesn't make sense that he would be able to just collect dirt from the bottom of the ocean and then it be considered good dirt, because it doesn't matter if it used to be dirt. It's now bottom of saltwater ocean dirt, and it can't have that much nutrition in it. But anyway, like, so the world covered with water should be predominantly useless, so it doesn't matter that they all know that the world is buried underwater. Is the dry land even real is, like, a much more interesting aspect to explore.
Yeah. Is there any dry land left?
Yeah. Like, but then the movie gets distracted and it's like, but what if people thought these different things about how the world used to be? And it's like, no, just dry land. And, like, then the comfort in that, like, Helen is comforted believing in something and having hope, and Kevin Costner is more like, he's hopeless, right? He's just like, this is the fucking way things are. Mm-hmm. Life is shitty. I like to be alone and just be like, yeah, shit sucks, dude. And that hope, you know, makes him too sad or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it's strange.
Yeah. So this is, he says, you know, he doesn't even believe in dry land. And then he, Helen's like, where do you get all your shit? Mm-hmm. If you've never been to dry land, like, you have things that no one's ever seen before. And he says, I'll show you. And he takes her under the sea.
Dun, 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 dun.
In, like, a really rudimentary kind of, like, diver's helmet kind of thing.
Yeah, like a bubble thing.
That you would absolutely die in.
They go so deep underwater.
That's my boy Casey.
I mean, like, think about, like, have you ever seen, like, the really old kind of first diving suits?
Yeah.
With, like, the metal helmets? And if, like, one thing went wrong, your whole body got sucked up into the helmet because of the pressurization of being underwater. And he's just like, no, you'll just swim the bubble. And it's
she's in, like, a loose plastic film. Like,
it's seriously, like, the same as in, what is it, like, the second Pirates of the Caribbean, where they're hiding from people, so they just take the canoe and flip it over and go underwater for a second to trap some air in and breathe. Even the time it would take to actually have to get down there and have your body acclimate to the pressure as much as would be possible before you being crushed to death, you would run out of air.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. Anyway, they go down deep, and remember, because Kevin Costner has the gills, he's fine.
I thought you were going to say, because Kevin Costner goes down deep. So that's why I spilled my beer all over myself.
But there's a city down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's another thing. That, it just happenstance that there's a city down there, because they could have, like, been over
rural,
like,
America.
Like a prairie.
Or where the ocean had already been.
Yeah.
Because 70% of our planet was
And then it would just be deeper.
Yeah. And he'd be like, see, Ash, damn it.
But the point is that there's ground down there.
Mm-hmm. And inside there's what?
Ground. Okay. And he shows her, like, okay, this is dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh my god, there's dirt.
It's also really strange that in a city, there's dirt, like, the pavements, you know, break down and stuff, but the buildings are predominantly intact.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little slimy. And yeah. Then it's just like, this movie's like, and you know how all cities are just unpaved, loose dirt?
I wonder, like, yeah, it'll probably break down. Pretty quickly.
Before, like, any of the buildings are even showing decay?
Like, before... Well, they were showing decay.
They looked great.
not great.
I mean, you are like, this is a, are people living here? Is this Atlantis?
By the way, this scene looks bad.
It looks like shit.
It looks so bad.
Oh, and my other favorite thing about this scene is like, Enola can't go because there's not enough air for two people, but it's like, they just got away from the smokers who they know are chasing Enola.
They're like 2 miles away.
Yeah, and then they're like, we'll just leave Enola up here, unsupervised, and we're just gonna go fuck around underwater for a little bit.
Yeah.
So then they go up, and shit's hit the goddamn fan.
Yeah, they come back, and there's fucking smokers there, all over their boat.
All over them. You know, Dennis Hopper's like, all right, tell me where Enola is. And they don't. So he has to pretend like he shot them both. So Enola reveals herself and she is kidnapped. And then they're just, once again, just spraying bullets everywhere. The smokers are just shooting up Mariner's boat.
Yeah. What, one thing, going back for a second. If dirt is so valuable, and Kevin Costner can get down to the bottom.
He can get down.
In like 10 minutes. Why isn't he just constantly filling things with dirt? I know.
He could be a king.
He could be a king, yeah.
I think he's like a Keanu Reeves type where he just doesn't want a lot.
He doesn't want it.
Yeah, he's just like, it's like his lime tree got fucked, so he needed a new plant.
Mm. Okay.
He just needs his urine and his lime tree.
He needs, you know, he makes his own water, it's fine. Mm-hmm. He can water his lime tree. As long as some drifter doesn't take his limes.
But that happens. Now he's got to go down and get some dirt.
He just needs to kill a big fish every now and then. Mm-hmm. That's not hard.
Nope, not even a little. It'll, you only go in their mouth.
I guess once his car battery dies, then...
True. Also, how do you have a working car battery?
That's what I am saying. Car batteries are good for like 3 years.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway. So, Enola is kidnapped. The smokers are setting Mariner's boat on fire and spraying it with bullets. So him and Helen have to jump in the water, and he's like, mouth to mouth and you can breathe.
Yeah. And this is when she falls in love. Mm-hmm. All it takes is putting your mouth on someone else's mouth.
That is how people fall in love. They go back up to the boat, and even though Enola has been kidnapped, the first thing on Helen's mind is like, remember that one time when I said you could rape me so you didn't murder my adopted daughter? And you didn't rape me?
Why not? Is there something wrong with me?
Do you not think I'm hot? And then he's like, you didn't want to have sex with me. And then she's like, now I big time do, because Enola's out of the way? How are you horny right now? Your daughter's been kidnapped. So they fuck.
Well, to clarify, not her daughter.
I think that's even a problem, like, where she's just like, by the way, not my kid.
Because you're like, okay. Kevin Costner, I don't even know what Cito is, but he's like, you don't look like her. And she's like, well, to clarify, like, I'm not a mom. I'm a young woman, never had any kids.
And it's tight. I'm tight.
And I'm DTF.
Big time. Yeah, it's like, it's weird. She's like, I just found this fucking bitch in a basket full of dirt and I got stuck with her. What do you want from me?
I just wanted the dirt.
I just wanted that dirt and I got a baby. So, now that they've fucked, Kevin Costner can think more clearly because he got the P and the V. And he's working. He's working hard. He's looking at National Geographic magazines.
But he sees a drawing, mm-hmm. a drawing, if you will, mm-hmm. that Enola did. Mm-hmm. And it's of, like, trees and shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my god.
She's seen it.
Nobody knows what those are.
Exactly.
Not even me, Kevin Costner. So, like, what am I looking at?
Well, I guess that's why he had to compare them to the National Geographic.
Okay.
So he's like, well, she must have seen it before, so she's been... to dry land, and then big old deus ex machina because Gregor shows up at that moment.
Yes. Because, Helen's like, we're gonna die here, right? And then Kevin Costner's like, shut up.
Yeah. I'm gonna go look at my National Geographic.
Yeah. Classic dads.
So, but Gregor saves them. He takes them to a group of survivors. Mariner is like, I'm gonna go save Enola because she's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Enola, the whole time when she's like on the smoker ship, she's like, he's gonna come for me and save me. And I'm like, what has he done to make you think
that he cares at all?
He's tried to murder you twice. He taught you to swim once. And then he fucked your mom as soon as you were kidnapped, so don't think he's really stressing about you right now.
He's been such a bad person.
Remember when he beat Helen with an oar?
I do.
He hit her at the back and she fainted.
And then she had consensual sex with him.
Yeah. Because once he didn't rape her, and then the second time when he sold her into sex slavery, he changed his mind. It's bad. So, Mariner shows up on the ship. He throws a flare into the oil tank. Everywhere is fire, and a battle begins.
Before that happens, I need to say that in this scene, Dennis Hopper is three stories high, speaking at Kevin Costner with a microphone, and Kevin Costner's like gently whispering, she's my friend. And Dennis Hopper is like totally comprehending.
That's why he's the leader.
He would be like, what?
Can you come up here?
Just walk up the stairs.
Actually, I don't even care. Somebody shoot him. Anyone shoot him.
You're half a mile from me.
Yeah, that, it's a good scene.
Anyway, and then he blows up the tanker.
And Dennis Hopper makes another golf joke. So, all the baddies are blown up. I mean, it's the longest fucking battle ever. My favorite part about it is, like, the two jet skis crashing into each other, and it is like a nuclear bomb mushroom happens. Like, I think they must just like love excess waste so much that they're dousing their wave runners in gasoline before they take them out. Because it's like anytime something explodes, it's like classic joke action movie explosion. Yeah. But blah 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 blah, there's a huge battle, but all the baddies get blown up. The balloon takes them to dry land because they figured out Enola's map. And Wikipedia does confirm that it is Mount Everest, by the way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it has to be.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking, but it does confirm. And it's a lush tropic area now. They confirm that Enola was born there.
Mm-hmm.
And at 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 45 seconds... Oh, man. What do we get, Daniel?
A fucking horse. Yeah. You all forgot what podcast you were even listening to.
You were like, what is this, the podcast that points out water in movies where the plot isn't about water? We wouldn't even be able to do this movie then.
It's about water.
The movie is about water.
No, this is Hello Horses, where we talk about movies that have horses but aren't about horses.
And this movie is not about horses. And this movie
has like 6 or 8 horses in it.
There was a character named Horse.
Yeah, honorable mention to Horse, who's dead.
May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear the word horse shouted 3 times, but then we see 6 to 8 horses. It is an integrated group. It is like a college brochure.
Oh, yeah.
You get a gray horse, you get a white horse, you get a black horse, you get a brown horse. It's beautiful. But Mariner's like, this island's too loud and it's too dry.
It's a water up in here.
Yeah. So he doesn't like it, and he gives Helen a little kissy and he leaves.
Yeah.
The end.
That's right.
That's literally Waterworld.
That's Waterworld.
That movie's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yup.
Okay. So, also, I think this is, like, a movie where it's the latest time a horse has ever come in.
Yeah, that has to be true.
Dana, which horse was your favorite?
It's hard to say, because they all came in so quick and so much at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess just that first horse.
Nice.
That first one.
You know, It's like Neil Armstrong.
That's right. The first horse to land on Waterworld. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite?
The character horse who died.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
He was good at jet skiing, but not so good at breathing underwater.
That was his downfall in the end. Were you happy with the amount of horses?
Oh yeah. The movie delivered. Just a good, clean package of horses at the end.
I almost want to say no because it did make us watch more. I can't believe we've seen it twice in 1 year.
You would have preferred zero horses.
Yeah, that I didn't ever have to watch it again. But I do think it's hilarious that there's horses in it. Because it also just doesn't make sense. And it's like the audio leads really heavily into bird sounds and stuff. But then they're just like, someone was like, we gotta get a horse shot in there. That's it. There's horses in it.
Yeah.
Just like that. Someone could just say something like that.
Yeah, because it's like a jungle island.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be horses.
Mm-mm. But it's just funny where, you know, someone was like, what really just represents, like, freedom and land? Horses. Gotta get a shot of horses.
Not a bird? Like...
They have some... Well, we see the seagull first.
Yeah.
And then there's so many bird sounds in the audio, but...
Yeah. Well, that's Waterworld. Yeah.
Well, no, wait. I measure the amount of horse appearances in movies via hands.
15.
Wow. I'm gonna say 7, because I really needed a horse on a jet ski.
I needed to see a jet ski jump over the horse.
Ooh, that would have been so good. And last but not least, Daniel, do you give this movie a yay or a nay? Oh,
God. No, it's a nay. Mm. Just like a failure to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been something. First of all, it shouldn't have been Kevin Costner. Imagine
Kevin Bacon.
Imagine if it was Kevin Bacon, or if it was Brendan Fraser.
Wow, that is a totally different movie.
Imagine Waterworld, but it's The Mummy instead.
That would have been great, because Brendan Fraser usually plays like he's accidentally capable, like he's bumbling his way into getting away. That would have been much more interesting.
And then because you're right that Dennis Hopper is the only person who knew what movie he was in. Mm-hmm. Because Dennis Hopper is playing this role very comedically.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have made sense alongside Brendan Fraser being the lead.
Right. Yeah. I think it's not fair that Dennis Hopper got the Golden Raspberry for this. I actually thought his performance was really fun and really funny, and it made me laugh a lot. His delivery is great, but it's just like, Kevin Costner is so dry, has no idea. Like, I think totally the director was like, you're the anti-hero. Like, you're kind of standoffish and cold. And he was like, okay. And then that was it, you know? And, like, his character has no personality. So it's like, in the few scenes that Dennis Hopper and Kevin Bacon are together, there's, like, Kevin Bacon, God damn it, not Kevin Bacon. Kevin Costner is giving him nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so strange because I feel like there must have been scenes written in for Dennis Hopper because of his performance. Like, the fact that the eyeball scene exists has to be, like, just someone was like, we gotta give Dennis Hopper more time.
Yeah.
Or something, but, yeah, and Jean Triplehorn, too, it's just, like, her character is, all three of them, their characters are nothing.
Yeah.
They're three really dry, boring people on a boat together. And then just Dennis Hopper having a time.
Yeah.
So it just would have been fun to have it be more campy and the actors clearly having fun.
Yeah.
And that's only happening in 20% of the movie.
And give me either more about the world or less.
Right.
Because the amount they gave me is just confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also give this movie a nay. It's bad. I also really don't like these, like, kind of, like, Mad Max kind of steampunky post-apocalyptic movies.
Uh-huh.
I don't like how they look most of the time, and so I'm just not a fan, and it's just, I think they poorly thought out, like, what the world would actually look like if it was a water world. Like, uh-huh. most of it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it just sucks ass, dude. But it actually isn't, like, I'll definitely say it's not as bad as it's, like, famous for being.
Yeah. I thought it would be more boring. And I wasn't bored. I just think it's, like, I think it's bad.
Right. I do think it's more entertaining on the second watch where I'm just like, now I know. It's like, okay, he's gonna go to the atoll, and then the smugglers are gonna come for Enola, and then he's gonna have Enola, and then three times on the boat, the smugglers are gonna come for him. You know, it's like, it's a lot easier then, but when I watched it, I didn't know the plot for the first time or anything like that, so I was just like so antsy and like, oh, the smugglers are coming again? Great. So, that's it. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah.
Also, Helen just is shaved? Shaved armpits?
I think that you see a little bit of hair in her armpit. And remember when you said that, like, what evolution may have done first is made humans with less hair?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that. That's what I thought of when you said that. She's not very hairy.
Yeah.
But there's like a little bit of armpit hair.
Oh, well, I missed it, so I'll have to do a third rewatch. Nope. Just kidding. Not worth it.
I wouldn't do it.
But if that's true, then I take that part back. So, that's it. That's Hello Horses.
That's what they wore the leather for. Just slick against the water.
Dolphins.
Yeah.
Just big old sea cows. Those are manatees.
Mm-hmm.
Got any last words?
No, I mean, don't watch Waterworld, but...
Stay hydrated.
Yeah, drink water in the world.
Yeah, and don't melt the polar ice caps, I guess. Follow us on Twitter at Hello Horses Pod. Do a rate, review, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And give us a little, just say hi.
Yeah. I guess. Well, we'll see ya.
Adios, cousins!